Okay, so in terms of Nosin Tam Lefgam, to put it all together, there are four major topics when it comes to Nosin Tam Lefgam. The first one is going to be that we'll talk about the Makar for Nosin Tam Lefgam, which will lead us to the major chilek between an actual piece of nevela that's Aser, so eating that it has to be Pogam versus Ta'am, that's Pogam. We'll talk about the Makar, we'll talk about the chilek between actual nevela and the Ta'am. We'll talk about how much Hetzer you need against the Iser. The second major topic will be the difference between Tafshel Pogam and the Kedera in which you cook that Tafshel. The third major topic will be Kedera and Benyomo, which we'll talk about having a status of Nosin Tam Lefgam. And then we'll talk about a couple of unique cooking combos that we find in the Gemara Rishon Macharonim in terms of Nosin Tam Lefgam. Okay, so if you take a look in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Samach Zayin Mabez, the Gemara discusses the Makar for Shitas Rosh Hashanah. Right, there's a Machlokas over there in the Gemara. If you say that Nosin Tam Lefgam is Mutter, or if Nosin Tam Lefgam is Aser, and the Gemara says, so what's the Makar to say Nosin Tam Lefgam is Mutter? So the Gemara says the Pasuk in Devarim that says, Losochul Kol Nevela, Legera Sheva Sherechet Et Nana V'Achala. So the Gemara understands it says in the first part of the Pasuk, don't eat Nevela. Rather, what should you do with it? You give it to the Ger Taishev to eat instead. So the Gemara understands that there's an interconnection between the first half of the Pasuk and the second half of the pasuk. What's the kind of nevela that you should get? What's the kind of nevela that's usher to eat? It's the kind of food that you can give to the guy instead to eat. If you can give it to the guy to eat, if it's edible by the guy, so then that's the kind of thing that has an ishem ish nevela. But let's say this piece of nevela wouldn't be edible anymore because it's so pogam that it is inedible. So that's the kind of thing that loses the shem nevela and it becomes mutter because it's totally pogam. So this leads us to the big chilek that the Rashba makes between tam, that's pogam, versus the actual piece of iser itself. The idea is that when you have iser that's contributing flavor to a tavshil, the halacha is that the iser itself doesn't have to be inherently pogam, it just has to contribute an unpleasant taste. And it doesn't have to be that it's totally and completely inedible, it just has to contribute an unpleasant taste to the dish. Where do you see such a musik? So there are two gemaras where you see this idea. There's a gemara in Avodah Zarah Lama Tesam Beis, there's a gemara in Avodah Zarah in Ayin Vav. The basic idea is that when you're dealing with a kedera that's an Ein Ben Yomo, the halacha is that a kedera in a ben yomo is considered nosin tam lefgam. But what does it mean that a kedera that's not a ben yomo is nosin tam lefgam? If you cook a food and afterwards, does it become totally inedible? No, it's just that the pot itself that has absorbed some of the old flavors from whatever you cooked in the last is going to contribute some unpleasant flavor into your dish. And so that's the idea, at least the makar for the Rashba, that there's a big difference between eating a piece of nevela itself versus the iser contributing flavor to a tafshel. If we're talking about the piece of nevela itself, the nevela itself has to be totally and completely inedible in order for it to be mutter. But when we're dealing with iser that contributes tam to a dish, to a tafshel, so then all you need is for that tam iser to contribute an unpleasant flavor in order for it to be that the tafshel is mutter. Now, both in the Rashba and the Ran conclude this way that the Nosin Tam Lefgam doesn't have to make the tarivus inedible. It just has to be that it's contributing an unpleasant taste, so that's pogam katsas. If you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, that's actually how we paskin in Siman Kuf Gimel. Now, when does it actually make a difference? So there's discussion about Beria, though. That by Beria, what happens if a Beria, we know that we talked about Beria in the past, what happens if a Beria is Pogam? So does that make a difference or not? Now, Mitzadachin, you might say, well, what do you mean? A Beria, it's Chashiv, it's inherently Chashiv, it's a Beria, it's Shalim, and therefore it should ask whatever Tarovis it finds itself in. And so it doesn't really make a difference if the Beria itself is Pogam. So comes Archas Chaim, and he quotes from the Rav Shem Tov Palcho that, and the Beis Yosef brings this down, and that is that, yeah, it doesn't really make a difference if the Beria is Pogam or not, it's always Aser. However, the Darki Moshe quotes from the Yisrael Tar Aruch, and he quotes, and the Torah also paskins like this, and many other paskins brought down by the Beis Yosef, and that is, no, that when it comes to a Beria, if a Beria is Pogam, it loses its Chashivas, and so therefore, if it loses its Chashivas, it doesn't render whatever Tarivas it is as Aser. And in fact, if you take a look in the Ramah, over here in Siman Kuf Gimel, that's how he paskins. He paskins that if a berry is pogam, it loses its chashivas, and therefore the taroives it would be mutter. Okay, now in terms of how much heter you would need against the iser of Isra Pagam that made its way into your Tafshil. So this leads us into the chiluk, the major chiluk that the Rashba deals with between Tam and Mamashas. The first major chiluk that we talked about is that when you're dealing with the actual piece of Nevela versus flavor contributed by Isser into a Tafshil. But the second major idea that the Rashba points out is that when we're dealing with Mamushas, if there would be actual Mamushas of Isser that's Pogim your Tafshil, you need to have more Heta than Isser. So, for example, let's say you had some non-kosher pickle juice that you added into vanilla pudding. And this is a kosher vanilla pudding. And you added in a whole bunch of non-kosher pickle juice. So, says the Rashba, you added in mamushas over here. And so if you added in mamushas, that's going to leave a mark on the vanilla pudding. And therefore, you're going to need more heter than Isser. If you have 50-50, 50 part, if you have half-half, if you have half Isser, half heter, you're going to be in trouble. And what are you going to be in trouble for? We're going to tell you, well, this is mamish like a piece of nevela. And we know that in order for nevela to be mutter, it has to be totally and completely inedible. And the gedarim are different, right? If we're dealing with a taravis, if we're dealing with a taravis or a tafshil of some sort, so then all you need is for the food to become a little bit unpleasant, have a little bit of an unpleasant taste due to the tama Isser. But if it's all of a sudden assumes the status of a chaticha shal nevela, so then the isser is actually going to have to be total and completely inedible. Okay, so that's in terms of mamushas. But what about for tam? So says the Rashba, when we're dealing with tam of isser, that's pagum, that's pagim the taravis. So then you're not going to need more heta than isser. What would be such an example? An example might be keder and ben yomo. We know that the halach is, we'll talk about this in a little bit, Be'ezus Hashem. The halach is that we're dealing with keder and ben yomo, that keder and ben yomo is considered to be nosin tam lefgam. So the question is, well, what happens now if I have this nosin tam lefgam pot that I cook up a whole bunch of chicken soup in? So now we know that it's very hard, unless it's a very funny shaped pot, or with funny dimensions, that it's very hard for the contents of the pot to have more volume than the walls of the pot. So you're inevitably going to be having more isser of nos and tam of gam that's embedded in the walls of the pot being contributed into this chicken soup. So in that case, it would be okay though, because since we're only dealing with tam of isser, that's nos and tam of gam, so because we're only dealing with tam and not mamushas, that would be fine. That's the Rashba's Beit Chiddush. So that's Rashba's chiluk between mamushas contributed to a taravis versus tam that's contributed to a taravis. Now comes the Ran, and the Ran says, actually, it's not so simple. The Ran says, when we're talking about nos and tam of gam, or whenever we're talking about Isser, there's really two forms of hana'a that you can be deriving from Isser. The first is tam, right? You can taste the Isser, and we know that if it's nos and tam of shach, that would be a problem. But there's another way to derive hana'a from Isser, and that is by appreciating, by enjoying the fact that there's volume contributed by the Isser. For example, let's say a woman is making a challenge and she realizes that she's not going to have enough food to feed her family. So what she does is she ran out of ingredients and she thinks creatively and she dumps in a whole bunch of pickle juice into the challenge. So this increases the volume of the challenge. So everyone's eating the challenge on Shabbos and it tastes a little bit funny. It has this little bit of this unpleasant taste. No one knows quite what the secret ingredient is. But the fact of the matter is everyone walks away full from the meal because the mother added in a ton of pickle juice into the chonk. So in this case, says the Ran, you're very happy to have the Isser in there, and you're deriving enough from the fact that it contributed so much volume to your cholent. So in this case, even though it does contribute an unpleasant taste to the cholent, but the fact of the matter is that you're much happier about it being in there because it contributed volume. So says the Ran, the only time that we would ever say that nosin tam of gam is going to be mutter is going to be if you're not happy about the volume being contributed. If it's so unpleasant that unpleasantness overshadows the volume contributed, so then that's when we would say nosin tam lefgam is going to be mutter. Now, if you take a look at the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Gimel, Sif Beis, he actually quotes both the Rashba and the Ran. In other words, according to the Rashba, there's a machlokas going on over here between the Rashba and the Ran. Right? According to the Rashba, when you're dealing with mamashas, as long as you have more heter than iser, you're fine. It's perfectly mutter when it's nos and time of kam. Says the Ran, that's not true. If you're really happy about the iser being present in there, and you're deriving enough from the fact that there's so much volume added by the iser, then that would be a problem as well. So the Rashba actually, so the Mechaber in the Siman Kuf Gimel quotes both opinions. First he quotes the Rashba, Yesh Misha Omer, and then he quotes the Ran, Yesh. He quotes both of these opinions. Now, so that's the big machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran in terms of how much heter you would need against the Isser. Now, there is a question about to what extent the Isser has to be pogim the tafshin. I'll explain to you what I mean. There's a question of that. What happens if when I first add the Isser to the pot, it contributes a nice flavor to the dish, but then after a little while, I cook it up or I cool it down or whatever it is. I do some sort of cooking process to it. And by doing that process, it actually results in the original thing that I added, the original iser I'm adding, I added it to be pogame the dish. So what would be the din? Do you say that ultimately it was nosen tam of gam, so therefore it should be mutter? Do you say that no? When you first added the iser to the pot, it was mashbiach the pot. So this actually is, if you take a look, there's a mission in Avodah Zarah Samach Hema Beis that discusses the difference between Nosen Tam of Shvach and Nosen Tam of Gam. And the mission over there says that Nosen Tam of Gam is Mutter. What's a classic example? It would be Chometz L'Soch Grease. And if you dumped in some vinegar into this bean tafshel of some sort. And so that would be an example of Nosen Tam of Gam. So comes Shmuel in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah a little bit later, and Samach Zainam and Aleph. The Gemara and Shmuel says, you know, the Mishnah's case of Nosen Tam of Gam is not so pashut. It's not always that a case of Chometz L'Soch Grisin is going to be mutter. Shmuel says, the case of the Mishnah is only if the Grisin were hot, because when you add vinegar to hot Grisin, to hot beans, so then that's where there's Nosen Tam of Gam. But if you would have added the Grisin to cold beans, well, that's Nosen Tam of Shvach. And so even if you heated up the beans afterwards and made it hot so that it's Nosen Tam of Gam, it's still going to be Aser. So in other words, according to Shmuel, if I'm dealing with a case where the Iser was added, it's Mashbiach, Ulub Sof, Pogim, so the halacha is that it's still Aser. So comes the Rashba and the Rambam in the 15th Parak Machal Sassur, as quoted and understood by the Beis Yosef, and they hold that vice versa would be true as well. It's not only when the Iser is Mashbiach, Ulub Sof, Pogim, it's even if the Iser is Pogim, or also if the Iser is Pogim, Ulub Sof, Mashbiach, that too would be a problem. In other words, what emerges from this Gemara, from the Rambam, from the Rashba, is that when we're dealing with Nosen Tam of Gam, it has to be Pogim et Chlos of Atzofo. It has to be that it's always is and always was Pogim the Tafshel. If it was Mashbiach originally and then Pogim at the end, or if it was Pogim originally and then Mashbiach in the end, it's going to be Aser. And that's actually how the Tor Paskins, and that's how the Beis Yosef Paskins, and that's how the Mechaber Paskins. Now, the Shach raises an interesting question. The Shach says, well, wait a second. So you're telling me now that Nosen Tam of Gam is Aser. I'm sorry, Nosen Tam of Gam is Mutter. Nosen Tam of Shvach is Aser. Pogim L'Sof Hishbiach is Aser. Hishbiach L'Sof Pogim is Aser. What about if I have something that's not Pogim and it's not Mashbiach? What would be the din in that case? So says the Shach, if I'd be dealing with a case of where it's not Pogim and it's not Mashbiach, that would be a case where it'd be Aser as well. And the Shach brings a lumdus for his shita. The Shach says, I'll tell you what the idea is. The idea is, if you take a look in the Gemara in Tzadei Tesman Beis in Chulin, the Gemara discusses if yesh begidin nosen tam or ain begidin nosen tam. There is a halacha. The Mishnah in Tzadei Vavam Beis in Chulin discusses gida nasha. And the Gemara wants to know, is a gida nasha, does that contribute a tam to the tafshel or not? Do we say that yesh begidin nosen tam, it does contribute tam, and therefore you'd need 60 against the gid that was in your tafshel? Or do you say that no, ain begidin nosen tam, gidin do not contribute tam, and therefore you wouldn't need 60 against it? So the Mishnah, ultimately in the Gemara, in Tzadei Tesman Beis, we paskin that ain begidin nosen tam. So the Shach says, however, we know that even though we paskin ain begidin nosen tam, gidin do not contain tam, they do not offer flavor to the rest of the dish. The halacha is, yeah, gidin are considered like a piece of wood in your tafshel. However, let's say that gid would be totally dissolved into your tafshel. The halacha is that when the gid is totally dissolved into your tafshel, you need 60 against the whole gid. So the Shach says, okay, so who adin over here? If we're dealing with Isser, that's not Pogim, and it's not Mashbiach, But you can sense it in some way. If you take a look at the Prima Gadim, he talks about that a little bit. But if you're dealing with something that's not Pogim and it's not Mashpiach, so that would be no worse than the case of Ein Begidin Hosen Tam, and therefore, if you would need 60, you need 60 against it. Okay, now, another important point that the Shach says is that what about in this case of where it's Pogim first and then Mashbiach? What about in that case? We said if it's Pogim first and then Mashbiach, that's Aser, right? Well, the Shach says, well, what happens if you took a bite of this before you actually got around to be Mashbiach? What happens if you took a bite of this when it was originally Pogim? The Shach says that too, that's perfectly Mutter. Until you get to the point where it's Mashbiach, it's going to be Mutter. Okay, now, the final discussion about at least this within this first topic over here about how much tam pogam do you need is what happens if the tafshel is pogam anyway and you dumped in a whole bunch of iser that also contributes nasty flavor to your tafshel. So for example, let's say you have a chicken soup that you made and it was over salted, but in addition to being heavily salted, you also dumped in some pickle juice. So now people are tasting the soup and the soup tastes awful because you had extra salt in there. It's over salted, but it's also, you could taste this little unpleasant taste of pickle juice. So what do you say? That the soup is pogam anyway. So it's not, you can't say that the iser should be mutter because of nosin tam lefkam. So if you take a look in the Gemara of Adazar Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Rish Lakish deals exactly with this. There's two versions of what Rish Lakish's statement was. We seem to pass on like the first one, and that is this case, is that if you're dealing with something that was pogam anyway, the chicken soup was pogam, and if the soup wouldn't have been so heavily salted, it could be that the pickle juice wouldn't have contributed so much of a significant unpleasant taste. Even so, Reish Lakish says, we're mekel. This would be mutter in this case. And if you take a look, the Beis Yosef brings it down, the Tor brings this down, and the Mechaber in the Kuf Gimel, Sif Gimel, he actually paskins like that shita. So in other words, in order for tam pogam to be pogam in dish, such that it would be mutter, even if there's other items, other ingredients in that dish that are pogam in also, it doesn't make a difference. As long as it's contributing in some way to the unpleasant taste, as long as the iser is contributing in some way to the unpleasant taste of the tafshel be mutter. Okay, that's the first major topic, is that in terms of nosin tam lefkam, the difference between an actual piece of nevela versus tam pogum, the makar for that, the difference between the rajba's bechila between the nevela and the tam, how much heter do you need against the iser, the machlok is between the rajba and the ran, and then how significantly the tam has to be pogam the tafshel. The next major discussion is that there's a big, big difference that we find between the tafshel and the kedera. If you take a look in the Darkei Moshe in Siman Kuf Gimel, the Darkei Moshe in Siman Kuf Gimel Sif Aleph, or the way that I have it is in Sif Aleph or Ois Aleph, he brings on a couple of important points from the Isra'at Dar Arach. The Isra'at Dar Arach says, "Yeah, we know that if you're making a chicken soup and you dump in a whole bunch of not kosher pickle juice, so it adds an unpleasant flavor to the chicken soup, and so the chicken soup is going to be mutter, even though there's Isra in there." The question is, what about the pot? Is the pot now usr or mutter? So the Isra'at Dar Arach makes an interesting point. He says, "Well, wait a second. Let's say I took this pot that contains the chicken soup and the pickle juice flavor in it, and I cook something in it afterwards. I emptied out the chicken soup now, and I cook something up in it afterwards, let's say rice or something, and this little bit of pickle juice adds a delicious flavor to this rice. So what would be the din with the rice? The din with the rice would be is that it's aser, because now it contains this tam of pickle juice in it, and the pickle juice added a good, nice flavor to the rice." So says the Isra'at Dar Arach. So therefore, when I get done with this chicken soup, when I cook up this chicken soup and I added in the pickle juice that was aser, so the chicken soup is fine because it's nasan tam of God. What about the pot? The pot is aser. Why is the pot aser? Because we're nervous that you're going to cook that rice in it afterwards. And if you cook something in it afterwards that the pickle juice will contribute a good flavor to, it'll be a problem. So therefore, the pot is aser. Now, does it make a difference if you actually put actual chicken, the pickle juice directly into that pot before cooking up the rice, or if you added pickle juice to the chicken soup that was in the pot? No, it doesn't make a difference. If you added pickle juice into this pot of chicken soup, or if you added it into the pot without chicken soup, and then afterwards you cook the rice, you're going to have a problem on your hands. The pot is usser, excuse me, and you're going to have a problem. Now, There is an interesting point, though. But wait a second. What about, though, if instead of putting pickle juice directly into this chicken soup, I had a pot in which I was stirring up hot pickles and pickle juice, and I use a spoon to stir it, and then I take that spoon that has this usher pickle juice in it, and I stir my chicken soup pot now. What would you say? We know that the chicken soup is definitely mutter anyway. Even if I dumped a whole bunch of pickle juice into the chicken soup, it would be fine. But now I use the spoon. What about the pot? Does the pot become usher, just like when I pour pickle juice directly into the chicken soup? So comes Yisrav Atzev Arach, and he says, well, wait a second. Let's do the math over here. The kedeira, the pot, is receiving tam from the chicken soup. The chicken soup is receiving the iser tam from the spoon. The spoon received its tam from the pickle juice. That's not bar nan. If this is not bar nan, there's nothing wrong. It would be perfectly mutter. So therefore, in order for there to be a problem with the pot, it would have to be that I took this spoon, that I took pickle juice and I added it directly to this pot of chicken soup, in order for the pot to be usher. Now, one more important point from this Yisrav Atzev Arach, and that is, well, wait a second. What about if I had this chicken soup and I dumped in a whole bunch of usher pickle juice? And now I take some of that chicken soup, which contains this pickle juice, and I toss it into my rice. And this adds a delicious flavor to this rice. So now, what do you say, though? Do you say that I need 60 parts of heter against the entire amount of chicken soup I added? Or do you say that, no, I only need the amount of heter of rice against the little bit of pickle juice contained within the chicken soup? In other words, does Chanan apply to the world of Nosin Tam Lefkam? And so the Yisrav Atzev Arach says, no, is Chanan, Chadir Anasas Nevela, wouldn't apply over here. You wouldn't say that the entire chicken soup becomes usser, becomes a chefza of isser with respect to the rice. And therefore, the amount of rice you're going to need is only 60 parts of heter against the little bit of pickle juice contained within the chicken soup. Okay, now that's in terms of the big difference between the tafshel and the kedeira. In other words, the tafshel that contains tam pogam is going to be mutter, but the kedeira is going to be usser. Why is kedeira going to be usser? Because whenever you're going to use it afterwards to cook something for which that tam would contribute a good tam. Okay, now the next major topic over here is kedeira in a binyomo. So, in terms of the makar for kedeira in a binyomo, you take a look in the Gemara at the very end of Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara discusses Kedeira and Ben Yomo and says there is a shita that we pass in like that. Kedeira and Ben Yomo, if a pot is not a Ben Yomo, it's Nosin Tam Lefkam. The question is, what is an Ein Ben Yomo pot? What makes something an Ein Ben Yomo pot? How does a pot attain that status? So that's a machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and the Ben Yotam on the one hand versus the Rashbam and the Ri on the other. Rashi and the Ben Yotam hold that as long as I don't use a pot overnight, over the course of night for cooking, it becomes an Ein Ben Yomo pot the next morning. So in other words, if I used a pot at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in order to cook up nevela, and then I went the entire night without using this pot, by tomorrow morning, this is going to be a pot that's Nosin Tam Lefkam. However, comes the Rashbam, as presented by the Hagos Ashri, and the Rashbam disagrees. The Rashbam also, the Ri as well, the Rashbam disagrees, and he says that's not true. In order for a pot to become an Ein Ben Yomo pot, such that it'll be Nosin Tam Lefkam, it has to be that you haven't used the pot in 24 hours. The Rashi is noted towards that sheet of the Rashbam, and a number of Rishonim and Pesachim are noted towards that. And that's, in fact, if you take a look at the Mechaber in Siman Kuf Gimel Sif Hey, he actually paskins like that Rashbam. However, there's a question. What about if there's a little bit? Let's say I didn't rinse out this pot before I used it. Let's say I cooked up this nevela in this pot, and I emptied out the pot. But I, before using it for cooking again, I had a little bit of residue. So in other words, I waited 24 hours. I waited 48 hours until I used the pot again. But the next time that I used the pot, there's a little bit of residue that I didn't wash off from last time's usage. So do you say that little bit of residue on the pot attains the status just like the rest of the pot is Ein Ben Yomo? So also the little bit of residue is Ein Ben Yomo? Do you say that no, that this is mamashus, and mamashus is always going to be a problem? So this is a big machlokes between the Ran and the Rama on the one hand versus the Rashba on the other. The Rashba says, no, that residue is considered mamashas, and that mamashas is not considered to be in a binyomo, and therefore you're going to have a problem in your hands. Comes around in the Rambam in the 17th Parak Machos Asuras, they say, no, this residue attains that status of in a binyomo. That residue is not going to be a problem. Now, if you take a look at the Mechaber in Siman Kuf Gimel presents both opinions. He presents first the Rashba, and then he quotes the Ran. So the Ramah says, okay, so Lamaisa, what do we do? The minig is that as long as you have 60 parts of heter against a little bit of residue on that pot, you're going to be good. In other words, the Ramah is being machmir for the Shita, the Rashba, that the little bit of residue is problematic. And similarly, the Shach in Sifkan Tesvav, he paskins like the Torah, the Beis Yosef, who all paskin like the Rashba. In other words, that this little bit of residue on the Kedera that's not a Ben Yomo is going to be a problem. Okay, now the final major discussion within Kedera and Ben Yomo is, oh, I actually shouldn't say that. That's not true. There's two more points that we have to make. And that is, the first point is, in terms of restarting the Ben Yomo clock, we know that, let's say if I cook nevela at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in this pot, so we say that if we're machmer, according to Rashi, the Meditam becomes mutter the next morning, the pot becomes mutter. But according to the order of the Rashbam, that we paskin like, you need 24 hours, you need until 5 o'clock the next day in the afternoon in order for the pot to become an Ein Ben Yomo pot. The question is, let's say I cook treif in this pot at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 5 hours later, let's say at 10 o'clock at night, I wanted a cup of tea, so I boiled up some water in this pot. So what would you say? Do you say that, well, now this restarts the Ben Yomo clock, and so the Ben Yomo doesn't start from 5 o'clock in the afternoon when you cook the treifas, it starts at 10 o'clock at night when you boiled up the cup of water, and so therefore, instead of waiting until 5 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, you need to wait until 10 o'clock at night the next day? Or do you say that, no, you start from the time that you cooked the treif. So comes the Sefer Truma, and the Sefer Truma says, well, wait a second. You cook treif in this pot at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you boil the water at 10 o'clock at night. Well, the water that you boiled absorbed all the time of nevela that was in the pot. And if it absorbed all the time of nevela that was in that pot, the water becomes treif. Well, if the water becomes treif, now it's transmitting all that treif iser. Now all that treif water goes back into the pot, and so the pot becomes refreshed for Isser. So the clock for Ben Yomo has been restarted. And so you'd have to start counting the 24 hours, not from 5 o'clock at night, but from 10 o'clock at night. The Smack quotes this Sefer HaTruma. The Smack says, but Lamaisa, at the end of the day, there are many, many Paiskim who disagree with this point in the Sefer HaTruma. And they say that the fact of the matter is at 10 o'clock at night when you're boiling up the water, there is no Mamashis of Isser over here. You're only dealing with time. If you're only dealing with time, we're not going to be that Machmer. And so we're not going to restart the Ben Yomo clock from 10 o'clock at night. You can start it from 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Comes the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef says, well, wait a second. The Sefer HaTruma seems to be saying that if I cooked Nevela at 5 o'clock at night, and then I boil up water at 10 o'clock, now all that water becomes treif, and it transfuses all this time of Isser into the pot. The basis it says, but the problem is that you're basically saying that the water is chanan. The water becomes like a piece of nevela. And so when I cook the water at 10 o'clock at night, it's like I cooked up a fresh new piece of nevela in the pot, and now the pot becomes freshly usher all over again. Basis it says, the problem is that we know that we paskin like the Rabbeinu Ephraim when it comes to chanan. And we, meaning we in the Beis Yosef world, that we paskin like chanan only with respect to basar v'chalav. And therefore, but by Shari Yisurim, you wouldn't say such a thing as Chanan. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, if we'd be dealing with the case of Basar V'Chalav, yeah, then in Achanami, that's where we'd have the Sefer HaTruma's problem. In other words, when I cook Basar V'Chalav, if I cooked a piece of meat, a piece of kosher meat at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then at 6 o'clock I made a cheese omelet, and then at 10 o'clock at night I wanted to boil a cup of water, so that's where I'd have the Sefer HaTruma's issue. That's where I'd have an issue of Chanan. Because now the water is absorbing all that basar v'chalav tam, the water becomes chanan, becomes a chatichat shal nevela, and therefore it's like you're cooking a fresh piece of nevela in that pot. And there, that would start the 24 hours all over from 10 o'clock at night. But by Shari Sherm, you wouldn't say any such thing. Now, the Beis Yosef points out, but according to the Smak, just note, we wouldn't be machal between Basar V'Chalav and Shari Sherm, right? According to the Smak says the whole thing over here is that we're not dealing with time at 10 o'clock at night. When you're boiling up that water, there is no time. There is no mamashas. You're only dealing with time. And because you're only dealing with time, we can be makel. So if that's the issue, if that's his argument, we can be makel by Shari Sherm, we can be makel by Basar V'Chalav. But says the Beis Yosef, within the Sefer HaTrumah, we have a kula, and that is as follows. If you waited, right, let's say you cooked meat at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then at 6 o'clock you cooked a cheese omelet, and then you didn't boil water that night. You waited until the next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning to boil up a cup of water for coffee. Now, what would be the story? So you would say, well, we pass like the Rashbam. If you pass like the Rashbam, there hasn't been 24 hours, and so you have an issue of Basar V'Chalav when you cook the water, and therefore the water becomes Chanan, and so that restarts the clock. Comes the Beis Yosef and says, no. In this case, you could be Samech and Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's getter for Ein Ben Yomo is that as long as you go overnight without using it, the pot becomes an Ein Ben Yomo. So says the Beis Yosef, in this case, you can be Samech and Rashi in the Ben Tam when it comes to not restarting the 24 hours. In other words, because according to Rashi in the Ben Tam, this is considered an Ein Ben Yomo pot, so boiling the water at 7 o'clock in the morning for your coffee is not going to restart the Ben Yomo clock. And therefore, you're going to just count the 24 hours from yesterday when you cooked the meat and the cheese omelet. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Comes the Ramah, and he says, I actually disagree with that point. He says, that's not true. If you cooked Basar V'Chalav at 5 and 6 o'clock at night, and then at 10 o'clock later that night, you boiled up a cup of water, but then you waited until the night passed, or maybe that's not as good of a case. Let's say the case would be that you cook the meat, that you cook the Basar V'Chalav at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then at 5 o'clock, you boiled up the water, and then he waited overnight until he used the pot again, says the Darkei Moshe, that wouldn't be a problem. As long as you waited overnight after the boiling of the water, that's fine. In other words, again, so just to point out the machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe, according to the Beis Yosef, if you waited overnight until the next morning to boil your water, then that doesn't restart the Basar V'Chalav, that doesn't restart the 24 hours. But according to their mother, Ramah says that's not true. As long as you waited for 24 hours, even after that boiling of the water, you'd be fine. As long as you waited overnight until after you boiled that water, you'd be fine. That's the Ramah's argument. And the Ramah also says, by the way, that we can be makel by Shari Surim, when even though normally but for Chanan we're more machber for Shari Surim. Now, in terms of Psak Halacha, if you take a look at the Mechaber in Sivin Kuf Gimel, Siv Zayin, the Mechaber actually passes exactly like his conclusions in Beis Yosef within the Sefer HaTrumah. So the Mechaber basically says, as long as you didn't boil the water as long as you waited the night before boiling water, you're fine. And the Ramah paskins exactly like his conclusions within the Darkei Moshe, and therefore he says he could be Mekel. Now, the Shach comes along and he says, I don't really see why the Beis Yosef and the Ramah are distinguishing between Basar V'Chalav and Shari Sur when it comes to this. The Shach says, this is not really a function of Chanan. We'll talk about this, Be'ez Hashem, B'li Neder, when we get to Siman Tzadi Dalet. Shach says, when we're dealing with these cases, you wouldn't be Mechalak between Basar V'Chalav and Shari Sur. And therefore, if you want to be Mekel by one, you would be Mekel by the other. Now, one more point within the topic of Keder and Ben Yomo. So far, we talked about defining the Keder and Ben Yomo, the Shittas of Rashi, the Ben Tam, versus Rashbam. He said that we pass like the Rashbam, and then we've talked about restarting this Ben Yom clock. One final point within the topic of Keder and Ben Yom, and that is reviving the Tam Pug within the Keder and Ben Yom. The Beis Yosef, he brings down from the Agur. The Agur quotes the Mordechai as saying that let's say you took peppers and you put them into a Keder and Ben Yom. The halacha is that even though normally a Keder and Ein Ben Yom is considered to be nosin tam lefgam, for these peppers, the peppers become aser. Why do they become aser? Because the sharp taste in the peppers refresh that flavor to make it nosin tam leshvach. Now, wait a second, though. Now, we know that the Mechaber, if you take a look in Siman Kuf Gimel Sivav, he paskins like that Mordechai. He paskins that, yeah, if you use peppers in this Ein Ben Yom pot, the peppers become aser. Now, the question is, though, what's being revived? Is it the taste? In other words, all that nice and tam, lefgam, all that tam of iser in that pot become revived? Is that what happens? And therefore the pot is considered like a ben yomo pot? Or is it that no, any time that goes into these peppers is the time that becomes refreshed and renders these peppers as us. So comes the Gilead Marsha over here, and the Shulchan Aruch, and also the Shach later on, Sim Kuf Chav Beis, and they say we're talking about reviving flavor to be going from Pogam to Shavach. We're talking about the time that's within the peppers themselves. Okay, now that's in terms of reviving the time Pogam within the Kedena Bin Yom. One final point, and that is a small discussion about the various unique foods, the unique cooking combos of foods that might be nos and tam lefgam that we find in the Gemara's and the Rishonim. If you take a look in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses, the Mishnah over there discusses, earlier on, discusses, what are you letting have oil? Are you allowed to consume the oil or the honey that was manufactured by Goyim? So the Mishnah says there's no problem with that. It's completely mutter. So the Gemara says, well, what would be the problem? What would be the potential issue of here? So the Gemara says, well, what do you want there to be a potential issue? If you're nervous that the Goyim mixed something in into this honey or into this oil, there's no problem over here because even if they mix something in, it would make it go rancid, make it go bad. So the question is, what does the Gemara mean that you mix something in over here? What exactly did they cook into this into the honey? So Rashi says that we're talking about Yain Nasach, but the Rambam, as explained by the Beis Yosef, seems to understand that we're actually talking about a combination of Basar into this, along with this Shemen or this Tavash. And so the Rambam says that if the concern is meat, that the Goyim had meat flavor being transfused into this Shemen or into this Tavash, there's no problem because that's Nosin Tam Lefkam. And similarly, if you take a look at the Mordechai in Pesachim, the Mordechai quotes a Maisa from the Ri. The Ri had a story where a person cooked up honey in a pot, in a fleishig pot, and the fleishig pot was a ben yomo pot. And then he took that honey while it was still piping hot, and he dumped it into a milchig pot or a milchig bowl or whatever it was, and that milchig pot was a ben yomo pot. So the question was, is this honey usher betaris basar v'chalav or not? So they came to the Ri, and the Ri said, no, there's no problem at all. Why is there no problem? Because when you took that honey and you boiled it up in the fleishig pot, basar is nosin tam lefgam into honey, so therefore there's no problem. So the Beis Yosef says, well, wait a second. So everyone seems to be saying that if you cook honey, that honey together with meat is like a bad combination and that it's nosin tam lefgam. We see plenty of people using honey to cook with meat, or meat with honey, and it tastes just fine. It's nosin tam lefgam. So what exactly is going on over here? So the Beis Yosef says it could be that the chiluk is that when we're dealing with honey, only honey, then there's no sin tam lefgam. But if you have honey mixed together with other ingredients like onions and spices, so then that's when it's no sin tam lefgam, and that's what people nowadays are doing. But in the Ri's case, the Ri was talking about honey only with coming into contact with tam of basar. So in that case, there would be no sin tam lefgam, and that would be fine. So the Darkei Moshe actually quotes, he says, I don't really see why you have to split hairs like that. The Darkei Moshe says, if you take a look in the Tshuvas Maril, the Tshuvas Maril is machalik between honey, raw honey, natural raw honey, versus this beverage that they used to make out of honey. And he says that basically when we're dealing with raw honey itself, that's when it's nosin tam lishvach. That's when the basar would be nosin tam lishvach. But when you're dealing with this beverage, this liquid that they made out of the honey, that's when there's nosin tam lefgam. And in fact, if you take a look at the Mechaber and the Ramah in Sim Kuf Gimel, Sev Dalet, they both basically hold their positions. In other words, the Mechaber says that for Shemen and Tavash, there's no problem of Shemen and Tavash coming from a guy, because even if they were cooked up and there was Basar, there would be no problem. The Ramah says, what are you talking about? We know from the Tshuvas Maril that there's a difference between raw honey and this beverage made from honey. Now, if you take a look at the Shach says, it seems to be coming out over here, that Shemen together with Basar is like a bad combination or something. The Shach says, I have a really hard time saying that, and he brings together a whole list of Shitas who say that that's not really true, that Shemen and Basar is a perfectly fine combination, that wouldn't be Nosin Tam Lefgam. Now one more Nakuda, and that is honey with bees, that we know that sometimes the honey has some legs from the bees in it. So the question is, what happens if you boiled up a pot of honey and it still had some of these little legs from bees in it? So would that be nosin tam lefgam or not? So comes the Darkei Moshe, he quotes from the Isra V'Atar Aruch, and he says, no, that's not nosin tam lefgam. That's not nosin tam lefgam at all. And in fact, that's how we pass them. That's how the Ramah actually quotes it lehalacha. Okay, so just to summarize very quickly, just the overview anyway, is that there are four major topics over here. In terms of Nosan Tamafkam, there's a difference between the Chaticha of Nevela itself being Aser, that it has been totally inedible to be mutter, versus Tam Pogame, that when you have Tam of Iser contributing flavor to a Tafshel or a Tarivis, so then all you need is it for the Iser to contribute an unpleasant taste. We talked about the Makar, we talked about the Rashba's Chilak, we talked about the difference between Mamashas of Iser and just Tam of Iser, that according to the Rashba, you need more Heter than Iser, only when you have you need more Heter than Iser, only when you have Mamashas of Iser in there. We talked about the Sheet of the Ran, that the Ran is Machman. He says there's another kind of Hana that you could be deriving from the Iser, and that is Hana in the form of volume. We talked about how significantly the time has to be Pogim the Iser. In other words, the difference that has to be Pogim and Chalas Vatsofa, and also that even if you have other things contributing to the Pogam, that doesn't make a difference. It can still be Nosan Tam Lufkam, it'd be Mutter. We talked about the difference between the Tafshel being Pogam versus the Kedera in which that was cooked. The Kedera becomes Asher because we're nervous you might use it for something else. We talked about Kedera and Ben Yomo, that the Makar for that, the Gemara, and Avarizara, the Machlokas between Rashi, the Rebbeinu Tam versus Rashbam and Ri. If you say that the Geder is overnight, not using the pot overnight in order for a pot to become an Inim Ben Yomo, or does it have to wait 24 hours? We talked about restarting the clock by boiling up water. We said that basically the Beis Yosef says that as long as you waited overnight before using the pot to cook something in it to boil water, so then it'll be fine. You can start the clock from whenever it was used for treifas. The Rama was even more makel than that. Excuse me. We talked about the sheet of the Mordechai about reviving Tam Pogam by using Davar Charif. The Mechaber actually passed in that way. And then we talked about the various cooking combos of various Nosan Tam of Gam. We talked about honey and Devash. We talked about honey and Shemen and the bead legs. Okay. And that's it for Nosan Tam of Gam.